evidence-based treatment that utilizes an FDA-approved tourniquet to reduce blood flow to an extremity during exercise. Blood flow-restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high-intensity workouts, including pre- and post-surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
Live from the historic Roger Hartsook Interview Room on the former campus of the College of Emporia, this is Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBineAuto.com. Live and local on 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, KVOE. A good Saturday morning to you. Blake Cripps, Dylan Sherwood in today. Tim Miller is off today for the Christmas holiday. And our studio engineer, Dan Courtwright. Dylan, well, for KU fans watching last night, not a great performance. But, you know, a 15-point win. I know that you were watching this one pretty closely last night before getting your sports report written up on it. Your thoughts on the game?
Well, you know, these before Christmas games for KU are always very interesting.
It can be an adventure.
Yes. And, you know, going into last night, I'm like, all right, KU's at home. You know, going to take care of business. Yale just came out and made some big shots. They made some big plays. I mean, with KU only playing with 8 scholarship players available, with Johnny Furphy, not available due to a family commitment back in Australia. You know, you had to see some other guys step up, and I believe we saw the great emergence of Nick Timberlake, and he made some shots.
3 of 7 from the 3-point line at 13 points. You know, watching the game in the second half, because the first half they didn't play that well defensively, looking at the numbers, it felt like they played better defense than they looked like just watching. There were so many times that they would go to double from the post, and there would be no everybody else outside of the double team would just stay on their man. It's like, is nobody going to collapse to the lane for this cutting Bulldog who is wide open, or is that just a design that, well, that's what we're going to give up in terms of this double team? Yeah. Like, most of the time when Bill Self's teams double, there's somebody in the paint to cover the cutter that's going to the basket, because somebody's, obviously, if it's a double team and a man-to-man, somebody's got to be open. There were so many times last night that Yale was just wide open for the layup in the lane. It's like, where are, like, Hunter Dickinson, where are you going?
Yeah.
Where are you going right now?
Yeah.
I don't understand where you're at. Like, you're vacating the spot where you need to be, or there was a drive late in the game where he didn't hedge and just kind of let the guy just get by him. Like, and that drew a foul on Nick Timberlake.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, when you've got Kevin McCullough playing like that, that could cover up a lot. And they did – I mean, they were very efficient in terms of – they did turn over Yale. So, I mean, I guess that – in terms of their on-ball defense –
They forced 16
Yale turnovers. They got 23 points off of 16 turnovers. And Yale only got 7 off the 12 that they forced.
Yeah.
So that's pretty big. Coming up on the let's run down the show real quick. Coming up on the show today, we're going to be joined by Emporia High Athletic Director Bo Welch. We'll also be joined by Laney Gerber, KSAT anchor, and, of course, the voice of the Chiefs is Mitch Holtis. You know, let's bring in Bo Welch. I heard that he used to coach basketball.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Well, have you got a chance to watch any of these KU games this year, Coach?
I have. My family is a pretty religious KU basketball fan, so we didn't get to watch last night. We had some other things going on, but we are a big KU fan. So,
what are your thoughts on KU and defensively how they've been this year?
I think they've been up and down. I think they've been by some quality shooting. I think KU always gets everybody's best shot. So, the pre-Christmas game, like Dylan said, is always a it's always an adventure because they always get everybody's best shot, and they're going in with students are leaving for you know, for Christmas break. A little bit of different probably feel in the arena, you know. But I think also sometimes with KU, you know, we put KU on a pedestal. And
oh, sure.
We forget that all these other teams are Division I basketball teams, and there are a thousand great basketball players. There are so many good basketball players nowadays that you have to play to win, you know, and a good game sometimes really doesn't mean anything other than you had to find a way to win the game. So I think sometimes we overreact to a close game and in a game that we feel like KU should dominate. And
they still won by 15.
They still won by 15 last night. Yeah, but you know, even myself, sometimes you got to step back and you got to think. You know, they found the KU 95% of the time they find a way to win.
Yes,
and that's the most important thing, because there are a lot of good basketball players out there and a lot of good teams as well.
Well, and they went a long time. I mean, I think that they had something like a 5-minute drought in the second half. And boy, it just seems like Bill Self's teams, when they get the win the 95% of the time, it seems like there is a run in about 98% of those games. And they got one last night. They ended up outscoring them 43-27 in the second half. And that 5-minute scoreless drought for Yale was a big part of it. And they talked a lot about the defensive matchup, because Danny Wolf was pretty good in the first half. He ended up going minus 10 and a plus minus for the game, though. They made a defensive adjustment to put KJ Adams on him. And, you know, Adams, with his length and athleticism, and you've seen him enough to know that, boy, does he create matchup problems just because of how many different kinds of players that he can guard.
Yeah, and you know, you talked about KU always having that run, but I feel like KU always gets the big stop
at the end of the
game. You know, whereas you watch other college basketball games, and it seems like if the team's got the ball with 10 seconds, you know, they're going to get fouled, they're going to score. And KU rarely ever has that happen. They almost always get the big stop down the stretch.
Well, two years ago, North Carolina, Coach Self, you know, I don't know if you guys saw this, but there was a podcast, I think, that was hosted by, God, who is that guy? Oh, Landon Lucas has a podcast.
Yeah.
And they had Bill Self on, you know, the amazing, your former player, the guest that you can get on your show. And they said, you know, he told them that he had told the guys to foul at the end of that North Carolina game.
Yeah.
And they told him, I don't remember who said it, but they said, Coach, we're not fouling. He said, what do you mean we're not fouling? I'm the coach. He said, no, we'll screw it up. Like, all right, you guys can do this, but if you mess this up, that's on you.
Pretty sure it was Jalen Wilson.
I think you're right.
Probably was.
I think you're right. So, but anyway.
You know, if you look at KU, too, there's some you can compare them a little bit with the Chiefs. You know,
there have
been many games you go in at halftime and we're down, and it looks like it's going to be a long night. And then within 5 minutes, 10 minutes into the second half, we're winning by five.
Yeah.
You know, so
sure.
It's just kind of crazy how the game changes.
So we're going to be joined by Bo Welch here next segment to talk about the first semester for Spartan Athletics. And, boy, there were a lot of bright spots to talk about in the fall off to a pretty good start here for the winter. So he's coming up. Obviously, Dylan, this is the normal time when we'd have our Emporia Street Main Street Athletes of the Week. But we do not have any Emporia Main Street Athletes this week. But those will be returning on the 6th. And I know that you would like to tell the area coaches, especially Emporia High's coach. Coaches, thanks to Bo Welch, do a pretty good job of keeping you in the loop on everything.
But oh, yeah.
I know that you'd like to implore area coaches for their teams to get in touch with you.
We got big things. We got a graphic now on our website. We'll post every Saturday. Just put in a little picture of each athlete, put their name on the graphic, too.
It's something you can definitely share on social media.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know, got to give props to Michelle Boyce, one of our sales reps,
for
putting that together. Because last Saturday, when you weren't here.
I was not here.
No. You know, Tim was in the driver's seat.
He was.
And I'm right here. I have my laptop. I'm trying to mess with the graphic. I'm like, I wonder how long it's going to take me to make this. And, I mean, Michelle did a good job and everything. All I did was upload two pictures, drag them over. I showed Tim. Tim was really happy.
Okay.
And he knew I was really happy, too.
So, area coaches, if you've got athletes, obviously we want your athletes to nominate, but we'd also like pictures as well. Even if it's just a team picture, that's fine.
Because I can, there's a way.
We can, yeah, he can crop the photo.
There is a way because I was able to do it with our area athlete.
So if you can do that, get a hold of Dylan. You can call us here at the station, 620-342-1400, or email him, SherwoodD@KVOE.com, because we want to support the area high school players, athletic departments. We know that you guys are doing great things. We want to include you in our Emporia Main Street Athletes of the Week, but you know, we can't do that without your nominations because we can't be at every game. So don't want to hear from people if we miss somebody that had, oh, well, what about my kid? He had 6 touchdowns. Well, let your coach email us and nominate him, okay?
That is very
true. So we're asking you, please, we would like you to participate.
Yes.
Yeah, and we get great buy-in from the Emporia High coaches on this award, and so we would like to have that from the area coaches as well.
I've been trying to, you know, with just the area connections that I have already.
And I feel like it's going in the right direction.
And there's still some new coaches that are new to this. I think there's a couple of basketball coaches that are new that are in the area. But yeah, I mean, just get a hold of me. I mean,
SherwoodD@KVOE.com. SherwoodD@KVOE.com. Let's take a timeout. We've got EHS Athletic Director Bo Welch on with us next to talk first semester of Spartan Athletics. That's next here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBineAuto.com on KVOE live and local.
The holiday red tag savings event continues at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia, and the savings are great. Come in, get over $9,000 in total red tag savings on a 2023 Chevy Silverado 1500 LT Crew Cab 4x4 truck, or a new 2024 Chevy Equinox RS front wheel drive with over $1,800 in red tag savings, or save thousands in interest with 1.9% APR with approved credit on select models. Come in and see the all new electric Chevy EV models. We've got 3 in stock, and take a test drive for yourself. Don't forget, we're giving top dollar for your quality trade-ins too. So for holiday red tag savings on new Chevy models, come into Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia today. Or you can visit us 24/7 at longbineauto.com. Come see us today. Chevy, find new roads.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. The University of Texas has won back-to-back D1 women's volleyball championships. In last Sunday's title match, the second-ranked Longhorns swept number 1 Nebraska in front of the largest crowd in event history. Nearly 20,000 fans were in Tampa to watch the Longhorns win the program's 4th national championship. It's their 3rd under head coach Jarrett Elliott. The Longhorns were led by Madison Skinner, who was named the most outstanding player of the tournament. It's the junior's 3rd national championship of her career, also having won with Kentucky back in 2020.
To have this season that we had and it being so rocky, but coming out on top and just the confidence that we all had together was just something that I've never been a part of. So it's great just to battle back and be the underdog and have people expect you not to do great and then you just to prove them wrong.
Sunday's title clash was also the most watched women's volleyball match in NCAA history. The championship averaged 1.7 million viewers, underlining a historic day for the sport. Running with the Bison, that's next on This Week in the NCAA.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. This is your dentist. Do me a favor and feel the front of your teeth. How grimy are they?
Ugh.
It's time for a Crest Pro Health reality checkup. That grime is the buildup of plaque bacteria that can cause cavities in just months. You need to switch to Crest Pro Health. While most toothpaste stop working in minutes, Crest Pro Health's antibacterial fluoride protects for up to 12 hours to stop cavities before they start. So fix them up on the way home. Smile. Crest has you covered.
Their first D2 national championship last weekend, beating Colorado School of Mines 38-7. The Bison's big title game victory sealed their undefeated season, which was powered by their flexbone offense. During their 15-game campaign, Harding became the first team in college football history to rush for over 6,000 yards. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com. Blake Cripps, Dylan Sherwood, and we're joined here by Emporia High Athletic Director Bo Welch. We talked a little bit about, you know, KU basketball, his other passion, but we're going to spend this segment talking about semester number one in the books, a great first semester for Spartan Athletics. First of all, just for you personally, how does it feel to finally get maybe a little bit of a break here in Christmas vacation?
Christmas vacation's always welcomed. It's it's definitely a busy time, you know, in the first semester, you know. But I enjoy all of our sports. I enjoy watching all of our kids compete and the preparation that goes into that, and seeing it kind of from all sides: the athlete's point of view of competing, coach's point of view of working to get our kids out there, and you know, I enjoy all that aspect.
Well, you know, for you guys, I thought that the fall season was really highlighted by that incredible start for volleyball, as they were just absolutely on fire. And I know from seeing Coach Wong up there at the ESU offices, wishes that they could have put a couple more wins together there down the stretch of the season. But, man, they were kind of the talk of the town of, like, man, when are these girls ever going to lose again? What was that like there to be on campus while they were building all that momentum?
Yeah, you know, I got a really good group of girls right now, you know, and they were playing for some things, you know, and inspired and definitely fun to watch. And, you know, they've carried that into basketball this mm-hmm. year. And that's a group that's been playing together a long time and really connected, you know, a really connected group. So very fun to watch them, you know, talk about volleyball and right now even into basketball, and just seeing how well they play together, and all of them understand their role, you know, and that comes from, like I said, being connected for so long and really understanding each other.
You know, a couple of individual standouts also from the fall. Callie Keough was fourth at state, but, you know, what a sophomore year she had. And then Elise Eckert, places high at state, and Ella Fessler as well, both of them medalists. So that's two great standout performances.
Yeah, we had a kind of a winter Christmas assembly last Friday, and we recognized, a lot of athletes that were, you know, all state, all league, and, you know, brought them down to the gym floor to recognize them. And Callie, we recognized her last. I mean, Callie was a few points away from playing for a state championship, mm-hmm. a state title, mm-hmm. you know. And she's still got more eligibility, you know. So she's going to be a force to be reckoned with, definitely next year. Elise, same way. Mm-hmm. I think last year, Elise really playing well as a freshman, you know, when we took second in state in girls' golf, really boosted her confidence, seeing her sisters go off, you know, to play and do other mm-hmm. things. I think Elise has a definite bright next 2 years, and I know her dad is excited, you know, about that as her coach. So, yeah, those two definitely are going to have success, I'll say it that way, kind of moving forward.
Well, not only that, but, you know, a team that didn't have maybe a great season record-wise, but you look at what they did in the postseason, you know, I think Coach Ibarra will just tell you, like, hey, you know, that's the schedule that we have, and then you look at what they did against a Newton team that had a sparkling record, and, you know, going right down to the very last wire with them. Obviously, they're playing a schedule that may not produce a really eye-popping record or top 10 ranking, but boy, are the Spartans prepared for the postseason, and they gave them absolutely all that they wanted in the postseason.
Yeah, you know, and we had a winning record this year. I thought we had a pretty good record for a tough schedule, and we were young.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and, you know, the way our guys finished, you know, you got to be proud of, you know, we're up 2-1 in PKs going into the fourth one, and what did we go, 5 overtimes that night?
I believe so.
You know, and I mean, two PKs left, we're up 2-1, and that'll be the game of the year. Unfortunately, you know, we didn't come out on the winning edge, but I can't imagine a game being much better than that. And our guys played so well the first 20-25 minutes of that game, we looked outmatched. Mm-hmm. You know, it looked like Newton was the better team. Yeah. And then the game just – we scored right before the half to tie it – or tie it or be down maybe.
Pulled with it.
Then one. And the second half was a complete opposite. Newton looked outmatched playing, you know, against us. And we had a lot of opportunities, you know, to win the match. But, you know, just like Callie and then Elise, you know, this is from a team aspect with a young team. Man, so much to be excited about moving forward.
Looking at Emporia High football, obviously fans, you know, would have liked to have seen a victory this year, but just the first year of the program, and obviously with Coach Klinsman, you know, we had him on several times, and when you're trying to rebuild up to a program that's not that far off from having success in the postseason like you guys have had, you know, record really isn't, this may not be what fans want to hear, but it really doesn't matter this year. It's about setting your culture, setting the program. What are the things that you think about when you thought about, you know, Emporia High football this past year, and you're one of the Coach Klinsman era?
Well, I think first off, you know, I think Coach Klinsman, the right guy. You know, he's a great guy in our community, great guy in our school. The kids respect him. You know, I think our kids will play hard for him. He does a lot of good things, you know, not just for our team, you know, but for our school as well. I think that, you know, our football program is trying to kind of figure itself out. And I'm not going to say this, it's not a new league, but it's a new rotation in our league.
You feels know, like when, a new, when, feels like a totally
we,
different league.
We have, you throw, you know, we are six teams in our league right now. Hayden does not play football in our league. Mm-hmm. So there's really, besides us, there are four teams in our league where we used to have 9, 10, and there were teams that we were going to beat on a regular basis in that rotation that no longer are in our, and we only have four, so we got to go find four now. And I feel like our football team, more than anybody, because of a shortened season of only 9 games, is really trying to kind of, like I said, figure itself out kind of with this new schedule that we've had these last 2 years. I think we're getting there. We're moving forward. You know, I think we've got good things to come moving forward with Coach Klinsman and the kids we've got coming. We've got a good, you know, good younger kids playing. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited. I'm excited for what we can do moving forward. We've got a little bit of a different schedule next year. You know, we still open with Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. And then we play Wichita West. We play Coffeyville. We still have to play all the teams in our league, and then our other non-conference opponent is Spring Hill. So we've got three new opponents on our schedule next year, and you know, I'm excited to watch our kids compete.
So do you feel like, you know, with the new schedule, with the three new opponents that are being added, you feel like, you know, kind of evenly matched kind of, like, team-wise? Because, I mean, you know, with Coffeyville being a kind of that maybe that high 4A, and then, you know, Pittsburgh kind of a size or a little bit smaller than Emporia, and Spring Hill a little bit, you know, a 5A opponent too. I mean, that's gotta feel good knowing you're trying to get those opponents that you could see more in the postseason and play at the level of competition where you guys should be, because you're playing 4-6A's in league play.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, like, we're trying, you know, we are now the smallest team in our league, you know, in football. Mm-hmm. By a wide margin, you know, and you know, I think it's important for us to find ways to play and compete against teams more like us, you know, and I think we've done that with the teams that we can bring in. We can't change it. We got to play Manhattan. We got to play Junction City. Mm-hmm. We've got to play Washburn Rural. You know, which that right there makes your schedule tough. You know,
yeah.
I mean, there's nothing you need to add on top of that to make your schedule any tougher. So, you know, I feel like it's my job to, you know, give us a schedule that we can compete against, knowing that our league is going to be so tough year in and year out.
Talking with Bo Welch, he's the athletic director at Emporia High School. Boy, you said when you came in, like, man, you got to ask me about this scoreboard. I know that you are excited for people to get out there and see it the first week. See, first home game will be the first Friday in January, correct?
Yep. Correct.
So will it be – what's the schedule? When's it going to be up? When can people expect to be able to go out there and have this new experience in the gym?
Well, we've got the plan right now is for it to go in the second week in January.
Okay.
We've got some off days of school. January 12th we've got off, and January 15th we've got off.
Because that's state debate too, isn't it?
We've got, so that gives us some time to get in there and do some installation, and I know it's going to get shipped that week, and there's a lot of work that's got to go into that, but, you know, if everything goes to plan the way it should, there's a good chance it'll be up for the rest of the year and functioning, so...
And this not just a scoreboard. It's going to have a
video board.
Board, and got all what all do you envision this being used for, either in the game or during school?
Well, there's a lot. I mean, you know, talk about in game. There's so many things that can go up on that board. You know, relating to the game, relating to the crowd, relating to what's going on in the school. You know, we've got a lot of sponsors that will be able to put information up there. You know, and we said, I said it on, you know, on here just the other day, we've had, you know, so many great sponsors that, you know, want to do good things for our school and our kids and been very generous. And that really started with, you know, we've our new scores table that we've put in, that we've been using, you know, we were so many things that we've been able to do with that. Mrs. Schwinn, has really kind of taken that under her wing and with a class of hers and boy, it's already brought a lot, I feel like, to, you know, our basketball, wrestling events, you know, we were able to use it for senior night the other night and highlight each individual senior and each individual, competitor as they were coming out. So
awesome.
Should be great. You know, as I think everybody knows with technology, there's always, I always say it, technology is fantastic when it works.
Yes.
You know, so.
It'll be a learning curve.
I'm excited for our kids. You know, I know our kids are excited. You know, they ask me about it, and I kind of show them a picture, a rendering of what it's going to look like. And I'll be honest, that's probably my favorite part of the job is seeing, you know, our student athletes get excited about things, whether it's a game, whether it's projects like that, just seeing them get excited about, you know, being a Spartan and representing our school.
Bo Welch, Emporia High Athletic Director, I know you got Christmas today, and thanks for coming in. Merry Christmas to you and your family. I know you're looking forward to some top 10 Lady Spartan basketball and Emporia High boys basketball coming back after the break. And, of course, we'll have it covered for you right here with the voice of the Spartans, Dylan Sherwood, right here on 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, KVOE, with a couple of exceptions when they'll be moved over to the mix. But
for the most part. There's a couple in January.
In January, but for the most part, it'll be right here on KVOE. Merry Christmas, Bo. Thanks for coming in.
Merry Christmas. Thanks for having me.
When we come back, we'll be joined by KSNT sports reporter Lainey Gerber. We'll also have our weekly talk with Mitch Holtis of the Chiefs here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com on KVOE, live and local.
The holiday rent tag savings event continues at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia, and the savings are great. Come in, get over $9,000 in total rent tag savings on a 2023 Chevy Silverado 1500 LT Crew Cab 4x4 truck or a new 2024 Chevy Equinox RS front-wheel drive with over $1,800 in rent tag savings. Or save thousands in interest with 1.9% APR with approved credit on select models. Come in and see the all-new electric Chevy EV models. We've got three in stock, and take a test drive for yourself. Don't forget, we're giving top dollar for your quality trade-ins too. So for holiday red tag savings on new Chevy models, come into Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia today. Or you can visit us 24/7 at longbineauto.com. Come see us today. Chevy, find new roads.
Whether you're buying your first home or moving into a new home, getting your home loan with Emporia State Federal Credit Union's convenient and easy. Emporia State Federal Credit Union knows the local market. They remain number one in mortgage lending in Lyon County by giving members flexible programs and down payment options, low closing costs, and fast underwriting. Visit esfcu.com to apply today. Equal housing lender, insured by NCUA, NMLS number 424226.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBineAuto.com. Hoping that this actually worked this time with Dan Courtright there. We're joined now by KSNT 27 sports reporter out of Topeka. Lainey Gerber is joining us here on the show. She, of course, is one of the sports anchors and reporters there on the news at KSNT 27 out of Topeka and also hosting K-Nation on Sundays on KSNT. Lainey, thanks for waking up early this morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for being on the show. First of all, let's just start with last night. You were at Allen Fieldhouse covering the game. Exceptional second half for Kansas. Didn't particularly play well in the first half, but what was that like at Allen Fieldhouse last night, and what were the guys' thoughts on the game with a pretty strong second half, a lot of points off turnovers, but a pretty sluggish first 20 minutes?
Yeah, I hate to admit that I didn't totally expect Allen Fieldhouse to be full yesterday just because it was a few days before Christmas. They're in the middle of holiday break for students. So I didn't think it was going to be your typical sellout, but it was. Go figure. Also, the fact that they were just playing Yale, you know, who is a great team, but I thought that a lot of people might overlook this game for Christmas. I was definitely wrong, and I'm happy that I was wrong. Because that second half was awesome in Allen Fieldhouse. And honestly, just the end of the first half as well, those final few minutes, KU went on a 7-point run, and they totally helped in that. And that second half was great. I mean, after the first few minutes, it was all KU. A 15-point win is great.
So you are a Southern California girl. How did you end up getting to Oklahoma State for your college education?
I should have a speech prepared for this, but I do not. I just wanted to go somewhere different, and Oklahoma definitely seemed different. I did realize I wanted to major in sports media, not just journalism or broadcast journalism. And there is a large handful of schools that offer a sports media major, but when I looked it up, OSU was always the top one to pop up. I had met some people from Oklahoma on a vacation a couple years before, and we stayed in touch as friends. So I was like, how crazy would it be if I told them I'm going to move there? And then ultimately, OSU gave me the most scholarship money. And, you know, money talks, college is expensive, and that's how they got me there.
So what did it mean to grow up in the Pac-10, Pac-12 area and then jump in the Big 12 country, Lainey?
Yeah, I was not super familiar with Big 12 country when I decided to join it. It was all Pac-12. My dad, my family is a huge USC family. So everything was about them. I had a lot of friends who go to Arizona or Oregon, and obviously USC, UCLA are very big schools to go to out there too. So I was way more familiar with the Pac-12, now the Pac-2, sadly.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Pac-2.
If you're coming from USC, and we're talking with Lainey Gerber, KSNT sports reporter and anchor, if you're coming from Pac-12 country, what are your feelings like right now? Are you still a USC fan?
I am. And so I'm sad. I'm nostalgic. It seems like championship weekend always kicked off for me with the Pac-12 championship game first. So it was always fun, and my birthday always kind of falls on championship weekend, so it was always like my birthday weekend would always start with usually, you know, hopefully watching USC in the Pac-12 championship game. So, yeah, it's going to kind of suck, especially with just the West Coast and its timing with all of these games, and now they're going to be going, like, all the way to the East Coast for games. Watching them might be kind of difficult.
are you trying to get caught up on like the Big Ten and are you excited about playing some teams from the Big Ten, or do you think the USC fans will get, you know, jazzed for Rutgers and Northwestern to come in?
Yeah, maybe not like the Big Ten East as much as they will the Big Ten West.
Sure.
But yeah, no, I think they'll like it. As far as, like, I mean, USC now isn't like USC of old, but when it does get back there and the world makes sense again, then it'll be super exciting to see them take on really good opponents that are in the Big Ten.
Lainey, has there been any interesting high school piece that you've done here in this first semester that you've liked?
Oh, so many. we've done a lot on athletes committing, and I really like picking their brains about why they choose these schools. I think we think so much now that NIL has so much to do with it, which it probably does, especially for athletes committing to sports other than like football and basketball. Any chance that they can get to actually like have a job and make money while they're in college and maybe not on a full scholarship is always something you hear. I really like picking their brains about what they like to see in coaches, what they like to see in programs. Their club teams and their high school teams teach them so much about maybe what they don't want and what they want. So it's cool seeing them be in charge and be able to vet the schools that they're going to. And it's the biggest decision of their lives. So it's awesome to think about their thought process at 18 years old on such a big life commitment.
Lainey Gerber joining us, 27 KSNT sports anchor and reporter. You can see her on Twitter, L-A-I Gerber. L-A-I Gerber is her Twitter handle. Looking at what you've done, obviously you were very involved in sports media down there in Oklahoma at OSU. What's been the biggest adjustment for you to come up here and begin? I don't know how much you did cover. I'm guessing you didn't cover it a lot, but how much have you enjoyed coming up and getting to cover the MIAA and Division II athletics as part of your job there at KSNT?
Oh my gosh, I love it so much. And just whenever I think about the future of my career, I do really want, if it's on an MIAA school, at least like a Division II school, or at least one. Two would be nice in whatever area that I'm in, because the athletes are so passionate. I don't know why some people just kind of write off D2 because it's not D1, because they're still crazy athletic there. Maybe it's just an MIAA thing too. Who knows? It is the best D2 conference. But it is so fun. And not to mention, just so easy to work with. There's not these tons of formalities that you need to go through for interviews and to get onto the field for games. It is just so much more chill. The weather's always a little better. You know, the days are always a little smoother when you're covering these MIAA games.
What is the best part about being a part of a Don Wiest press conference?
That is an awesome question.
Don Wiest.
Sure. I'd buy that answer. You know, when you get to cover Emporia State and, you know, another team that's up there in Topeka. And, you know, Vince kind of screwed this up when we asked about, you know, covering Emporia State and that other team. Which team is your favorite to cover?
Did Vince just straight up say that Washburn was his favorite team to cover?
I don't remember what he did, but I remember that in Don Wiest's mind, he gave the wrong answer. That I do remember and know for sure. You got to know your audience is what
Don
said.
You got to respect the legendary Don Wiest.
You do.
Absolutely. So for Don's sake, I'm going to say obviously the Emporia State Hornets. Professionality's sake, I'm going to say whichever school I'm at that day.
That's a good answer.
I think Don will appreciate that answer. What's some of the sports and teams that you enjoy following? I mean, I think we've established that you're a USC girl. Nothing wrong with that. Any other teams, whether it's collegiate, professional, that you try to follow in your free time?
Yeah, I am a fan of all LA pro sports, so I do really like still following all of them, because when I watch their games, it doesn't really feel like I'm working. So it's nice, especially with the West Coast times. I can get off work at 11 and pre-pitch clock rules, catch the last three innings of a Dodger game and not have it feel like I was just working and covering the Royals all day, because it is a very separate team. And the fact that we don't have an NBA team here, I can watch Laker games time and not associate it with work at all. So I love still keeping up with LA sports. It is really nice to not cover the sports that you grew up rooting for, because it's really easy to separate work and your personal life and not be overwhelmed all the time.
Okay, Lainey, I got a quick two-parter for you real quick, because we got Mitch Holtis on waiting. Are you going to get an opportunity to cover either KU or K-State in their bowl game next week? And also, how excited are you for high school basketball to resume on January 2nd? Because I know I will be in Topeka for two big games at Hayden High School.
Ooh, Hayden and Emporia. That might be a good place for Laney to be.
Yeah, yeah. If I see Laney somewhere whenever I've been doing a game, I know whether it's her, Landon, or, you know, even Vince or Katie, but, you know, how excited, you know, just how excited are you for, you know, the opportunities coming up for you?
Yeah, I will be in Phoenix early next week for KU's bowl game.
Wow,
all
right.
So I'm really excited for that. Fly out Christmas Day. Hopefully all weather and flights go well. Hopefully my equipment doesn't get broken on the flight. But that'll be fun. I hope I get to watch them get that first bowl win in a long time. And I am stoked for high school basketball to be back. I love our Friday night show, Full Court Press. It is so much fun. All these athletes just play with such heart, and there are so many good high school matchups coming up. So I am really excited to get back into the grind of Friday night.
Laney Gerber, KSNT sports reporter. Once again, you can follow her on Twitter, L-A-I Gerber, hosts that Friday night show, as well as K-Nation Sundays on KSNT. Laney, thank you again for doing this. Really appreciate it. We'll have you back on here in the future. Keep rotating around for the TV sports reporters there in Topeka and our market. Have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you. You guys, too. Have a Merry Christmas, and I hope your teams win their bowl game.
Hey, we also hope that our team.
Yes.
You'll be there to see it if they do. So cover them well.
All right. Thanks you,
Laney.
Laney Gerber there from KSNT in Topeka. Yeah, hopefully they will. And I've seen her at a couple of Chiefs games as well.
Yes. She is a you know Twitter
she
follower.
She does her job.
She does her job. I follow a lot of the TV people
as
well.
You
and so
speaking of the Chiefs.
Yeah.
It's time now to bring in the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, and of course, every week he's brought to you by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabel Lopez or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NMLS number 424226. And as always, Mitch appears on the Sutherland Home Improvement Studio line. Mitch, how are you doing here on this Christmas weekend?
God, I can't believe you guys didn't get me a Laney Gerber autograph.
You know, we could probably effort that.
Well, if you wouldn't mind, I mean, I'll send you maybe an Oklahoma State hat or something.
Sure.
She and Andy Reid would have a lot in common because they're both Southern California folk. I kid Andy a lot about his background, but the fact that he grew up in a multicultural school in L.A., it just kind of set his foundation for what he's become, and he's been at so many different places, and he's an amazing dude. But yeah, for sure, these transplanted Southern Californians who thrive in our area, it's a good thing.
Well, obviously for the Chiefs last week, a big win out on the road against the Patriots in Foxborough, and boy, it was a really, really big third quarter for them to come back as part of 20 unanswered points, a couple of Harrison Butker field goals in that third quarter, and another really good defensive quarter for the Chiefs in that Patriots win. What, in your mind, I thought that late score that they had at the end of the first half, I don't know if momentum carries over to halftime. I don't know how the guys feel about that, but boy, it really seemed big for them to get that touchdown right before halftime. How did you guys feel about that touchdown?
For sure. Now, in the National Football League, it's different than, let's say, and especially with K-State and KU and their bowl games and these long halftimes.
Yes.
NFL halftimes are short. If you go play, it's just like when you're playing Madden and you play straight through. You don't stop for 12 minutes and go out and go, hey, I'm going to go mow the lawn, then I'll come back in and play the second half. Momentum at the end of the first half going into the second half is huge in the National Football League, especially when you get what the Chiefs have. When the coin toss and why you defer the coin toss or your possession is that more often than not, the way the possessions come out, you'll get two possessions in a row. The one at the end of the second quarter and to start the third quarter. It happens roughly 80% of the time. Huh. That's why winning the toss and deferring is a big deal. Yeah, absolutely. Four-fifths of the time, if you defer the way the possessions work out, you'll score, or you could have a chance to score at the end of the second quarter, and then you get the ball again. It's like make it, take it, to start the third quarter. There may be a couple plays, and like what New England had 20 seconds and ran one play. Like it's a, you blow. Not only do you get two possessions, you blow another team's possession. They get the ball for like 10 seconds. It doesn't even work. So it's a big deal, and I'm glad you brought it up. Now, I'll just tell you, too, globally, I thought there were three things in that game that carry over, hopefully, to the next three games and to Monday's game. Is one, Rashee Rice with three big third down catches. Mm-hmm. Two to extend drives and get first downs where he had to make tough catches. Third was a Patrick Friendly play where he had to get in Patrick's vision and made a 20-plus play. In fact, it was on that drive, I think, at the end of the second quarter. The second big thing of this game was the reemergence out of the ashes of Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. We didn't think we'd ever see him again, and he has 100 all-purpose yards. Third and finally would be the linebacker room. When that linebacker room is full, it is like having brand-new fireworks at the 4th of July. And the fact that Drew Tranquil and Nick Bolton have only been active five times all season together, and Spags was able to mix and match in that game, and especially when they played those two together. Two of the four sacks were when those guys were in there together. So that was the big thing I carried over from New England that carries into the next 3 weeks.
And, Mitch, it's got to feel good that Isaiah Pacheco has been a full participant in practice over the last couple of days, coming back from that shoulder contusion. But are the Chiefs going to slowly move him in or move him back in, or do you see a little bit more of Clyde Edwards-Helaire? You see Pacheco getting full speed?
How do you slowly bring Isaiah Pacheco back in? He's the dog.
Yeah, I don't know.
He's the Tasmanian devil, right? And so he's the dog that you let out in the backyard and go, hey, well, just go potty, puppy. and the thing takes off and is chasing rabbits and raccoons and other dogs. Like, it just won't stop. But I think to try to manage his load would be smart because the dude only has one gear. Now, with Clyde missing practice with some personal reasons, I really look for LaMichael Perine to be elevated on Sunday afternoon or Sunday night off the practice squad. And Perine may have to have some touches in this game, only to your point, Dylan, which is smart, that you somehow have got to keep Pacheco managed here. You don't want to just get him re-injured in this game, but having Pop back will bring some pop into this team.
Mitch, not to just focus solely on the offense, but you brought up the fact that a lot of people had thought that, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and I probably admit, you know, I was probably one of the Chiefs fans that had said, you know what, you know, he had that little flash, and it was a great flash when he had it, but he's just not going to be that guy. And, you know, what the average, you know, lifespan of the running back in the NFL is like 3.5 seasons, if that. So that would have just been like every other running back, for the most part, on average. But obviously, CEH doesn't believe that he's that kind of running back, has maintained belief in himself. How has he done that in this offense where maybe he hasn't always been performing, but it showed last week that he's got that capability to pull that out, and not even in the running game, but making spectacular catches in the end zone to help a team win?
Yeah, this is a way too old, two movie references, but it's the scene in the old comedy of Bill Murray Stripes, where like, who died, who cried when Old Yeller died, right? That's crazy. Everybody raises their hands kind of sheepishly, and like, who thought that Clyde would never resurface again? And everybody kind of raises their hand. So the one they call Blocke, you're not alone here, okay? And honestly, I'm going to give you a non-football answer here.
That's fine.
Persistence. I'd say perspective and the fact that he could persevere. I know that sounds like a motivational talk, but that's your answer. Clyde stayed in the boat. He kept rowing the boat. He's such a positive dude, and I think this is where it helped him, Blake. He was such a positive guy in the way he has approached every day with the, you know, he didn't go to the parade. He was inactive for Super Bowl 57. This is a healthy scratch. This has been rough for him. And yet he has stayed positive. He has stayed a force in the locker room. Guys have seen it. He worked hard at camp. And yes, he is a weapon in the passing game. We've had screens now, the last two games. One has produced 20 with him. The other one produced 48. And so well executed. This is part of Wanya Morris and why I'm excited about him at left tackle. because he's a big part of this. But Clyde, that's a 30-yard screen that Clyde made 48, bouncing off hits and keeping his balance. And then his catch at the back of the end zone where 5'7 became 6'7, it gave us like, oh, yeah, okay, Clyde was great at LSU, and he was really good in 2020 as rookie year. So I guess there's some redeeming value, guys, here with this guy. So that's the reason, though. The dude just was persistent, kept his perspective, and persevered.
And, Mitch, again, the Chiefs get an opponent that's had a little over a week to prep with the Raiders. And I know, they got Max Crosby on that side, but he hasn't practiced yesterday or even on Thursday with his knee. But you know what to expect out of the Raiders, and especially when Max Crosby was kind of banged up a little bit when they played the Chiefs right after Thanksgiving. And he still played that game, but, what's the biggest threat this time around?
Well, you got it. And it starts with him and a dude named Robert Spillane, who was the former Pittsburgh Steeler, who just wants to, like, eat everybody. I mean, he's like the villains in Lord of the Rings, like the orcas or whatever they're called. Like, that's these guys. First of all, it's driving me crazy. I don't know what algorithm the NFL came up with to allow five straight Chiefs opponents to have extra days to prepare in December. I want you guys to go to the Emporia State coaches, all of them, and say, what do you think if the MIAA gives a bye to every team in the league before they play the Hornets? You guys going to check off on that?
And let's. I'm pretty sure I know. We're having Coach Higgins on next week. I'm pretty sure I know what he's going to say.
No, just ask him. Seriously, ask him for me.
I'd love to ask.
Because this is driving me nuts. It's the fact that these teams have 10 to 14 days to get ready for us. The Raiders have 11. They played Thursday night to a Monday in December. That's a big deal. Now, it sounds like an excuse. Hey, shut up and just play. Got it. That's what Andy Reid would say. But you can't overlook it. The Chiefs, if the Chiefs pull this off, win the division and get a good seed, maybe the one seed, people are going to have to realize what this team had to push through and overcome. All right, now let's get to Dylan's point about Max Crosby. Complete animal and perfect villain, but he is amazing. Here's your nugget of the morning. He has played every defensive snap this year seven times. And he's been banged up, right? He's still got this knee thing he's dealing with. 11 times in two seasons, Max Crosby has played every defensive snap. The rest of the league, of all the edge guys, the Bosa boys, Khalil Mack, just list them all, combined for 31 teams, has done it 4 times. Huh. He's done it 11 times. The guy's a freak. And he's got 300-plus tackles and 50-plus sacks in his first 5 years. Only 3 other guys in the league have been able to do that. J.J. Watt, Khalil Mack, and DeMarcus Ware. That just gives you an idea how good Max Crosby is. And then you bring in Robert Spillane, who's with these new villain linebackers, including Singleton of the Broncos, and it's like, I'm going to give cheap shots and right past the echo of the whistle. And so that's what we've got. So number 41 for the Raiders becomes public enemy number one tomorrow for, like, Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey and Wanya Morris and Joe Tooney.
Last thing for you, Mitch. What Raiders offense is showing up? Because this is a team that, after getting beat by the Chiefs 31-17 to end November, lost a 3-0 game to the Vikings, which I actually had to look up to make sure this wasn't like some sort of a like fake game that got put out there on Google. And then last week, they scored 63 on the Chargers. So they're averaging, over the last couple of games, 31 points a game. And they had a 0 and a 63. So which offense are the Chiefs going to see?
Second time in NFL, Blake. It's second time it's happened in the NFL. Because I know when you woke up this morning, you thought about the 1934 Philadelphia Eagles.
The first thing I think
about. Shut out. That's what I thought. They were shut out by the New York Giants, 0. The next week they put 64 on the board against the Cincinnati Reds.
Oh, wow.
Why wouldn't they? They only have 9 guys. They don't have football pads on. You're like, why is Pete Rose not in the Hall of Fame? Like, so they put 64 on a baseball team. That was the Cincinnati football team at the time. But still, second time in NFL history that's happened. I don't know, but they're capable. That's the word here to give to the Chiefs Kingdom. You're playing. Aiden O'Connell had 4 touchdown passes in that game. The Raiders get Josh Jacobs back. Jacoby Myers has been very good. We know about Devontae Adams. Dangerous team with 11 days to rest, bringing in villains on defense and pesky dudes on offense. It's game on. But I'm going to tell you why I'm fired up about this game. And, Dylan, I'm going to need a whistle, dude, so just get warmed up. Why is Mitchie the Kid really fired up about this game? You know why? Did you guys, maybe you saw the minute with Mitch.
I sure did, but I know the answer, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's crazy. When Lamar Hunt, in 2002, when they expanded the NFL to 32 teams, the Houston Texans came into existence, 8 divisions to 4. Well, who's going to be in those divisions? Strong rumors the Chiefs would be put in with the Colts and the Titans and make a Midwest division. Nope, Lamar Hunt wanted to keep the American Football League original teams together as much as he could. The AFC West stayed together. That's why we're sitting here with three original other AFL teams. The AFC East is three original AFL teams and an AFL expansion team in 1966 with the Miami Dolphins. The reason I say that, and this is, and Blake, you know, the Chargers have won 15 division titles.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The Raiders have won 15 division titles. Mm-hmm. The Broncos have won 15 division titles. The Chiefs have won 15 division titles. Monday, baby, we can make it 16-15-15-15 and win our 8th straight division title. Yes, I'm fired up for this game. Already headbutt and sheetrock. And I need some whistles. I need some hoots and whistles, Dylan.
All right, I got you, Mitch. For we need positive vibes going into Christmas, and the Chiefs need to get the job done. And Chiefs have a good record on Christmas, so hopefully,
they do.
Hopefully,
yes, we do.
Yeah. Last time, Chiefs played on Christmas, they defeated an AFC West foe in those Broncos. Mm. The Don Terry Poe touchdown. So,
hungry pig is passing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I don't know if we're going to see Big Man touchdown on Monday, but, you know.
Ooh, don't be surprised.
Hey, we talked about it, so here we go, a big Christmas one. Woo, 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 woo!
Mitchell.
That's it right there.
There it is.
Hey, that should be brought to you by Emporia State Federal Credit Union.
Maybe.
Love it. And we need 8 straight division titles, second in NFL history if we do it, only to the Patriots of 9-11. And then this 15-15-15-15 thing, actually I discovered last year. I'm like, wow, this is crazy. So I put it out there, and now everybody's like, all right, let's go. But to make it 16, I'm going to lose it, baby, if we win this game. I'm going to be whistling, Dylan. In Block A, we're going to bring it, buddy. Yes,
I need to. I guess I need to record one for next week. I'm not going to be here, Mitch, so I need to get it on the cart now.
So wherever you're going to be, just drive back and do the show, and then go back.
Yeah, we can. Go ahead, Mitch.
Honestly, Blake, I want you to ask Coach next week when you have Coach on. Say, hey, did you hear the MIAA is going to give a bye week to every opponent before they play you next year? Just do it. Deadpan it. I'll buy you lunch.
Okay.
Just deadpan it and then see what he says. And then that brings into focus of what we're facing here and trying to power through.
Mitch Holthus, he appears with us every week here on KVOE on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. And as Dylan mentioned, that and the whistle brought to you by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabel Lopez or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease. And getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NMLS number 424226. Once again, your home for the Chiefs all year long, including Christmas Day, Country 101.7. Mitch, have yourself a Merry Christmas, a Merry Chiefsmas, and
yes.
We will be excited to watch and listen on Monday.
Merry Christmas to you guys and to everybody listening in that great area, that great city in the Glen Hills, man. So Merry Christmas, happy holidays, and let's go do this.
That'll work.
Yes, sir.
Mitch Holthus, the voice of the Chiefs. Thank you, Mitch.
Thanks, Mitch.
That's crazy that it, like, is there any other division that has that set up?
No.
Where every team has the same number of division championships?
That is surreal.
That's impossible. That's impossible that you could have a division for 60 years and every team has won one. That's crazy how that's – it just goes to show why I believe, and I know there's going to be people that will say, oh, well, it's the NFC East. AFC West is the most compelling division in football. Can you imagine the Chiefs being in a division with Indianapolis and Jacksonville or St. Like, what? It would never happen now because the NFL, unlike college football, that has no idea what their fans actually want, there would be a fire set at Roger Goodell's, I don't know, one of his many homes. If he ever tried to pull these divisions apart now, that'll never happen.
No.
Because Chargers fans, Chiefs fans, Broncos fans, Raiders fans, we understand these are the teams that we're supposed to hate. These are the teams that we're supposed to play, and these are our rivalries. Same with the NFC East. And there are probably divisions like the Colts division, obviously, that's never going to have the kind of quality rivalries that the NFC East, the AFC West have. There's probably other ones, probably AFC North now with the Browns and the Steelers. Those are big rivalries up there. But you'd never, the 49ers and the Seahawks, that's a great rivalry. Yep. But you'll never pull apart these teams from like the East and the West. Those are so compelling. Mm-hmm. And college football, clearly, as we talked with Laney about earlier, has not figured that out because USC is going to be playing Rutgers in volleyball and softball and women's basketball and baseball and, these sports that nobody in Southern California or wherever Rutgers is going to care about.
Yeah.
No one will care. Now if you show up for a volleyball, women's basketball, baseball, these non-revenue sport games, and you're playing UCLA, now they'll still be in the same conference, but you're playing, USC in California, something. Yeah. We're invested in this. Uh-huh. You're playing Rutgers. You think USC baseball fans are going to care about playing Rutgers in baseball? Does Rutgers even have a baseball team?
I don't know.
Are they going to get jazzed up to play Northwestern? No.
No.
The NFL gets it right. Quickly checking the calendar here as we send you off on this Saturday. The Chiefs, obviously, are in action coming up. And by the way, you can get the full sports calendar online anytime, kvoe.com/calendar. We'll have NFL Insider coming up for you today at noon on KVOE, and then an NFL doubleheader, Bengals at Steelers, Bills at Chargers. We'll join the coverage. It begins at 3 o'clock, I believe.
Yes.
Kickoff for the first game is at 3:30, and then we'll seamlessly, I hope so, too. We put too much time, work, and effort, and calls with our automation system to make this happen this week.
Same thing.
Perfect for Thanksgiving, but we've worked on it. We think it's going to work. We're going to have somebody here just in case it doesn't. Hoping that's going to work here for you today. So NFL Insider at noon, doubleheader starting with coverage at 3 o'clock. On Sunday, we will not have Sunday Night Football. We'll have Christmas Eve service at First United Methodist Church at 7 o'clock on Sunday. But we'll come back with the last two NFL games on KVOE on Christmas Day, Giants-Eagles, Ravens-49ers, and I believe we'll join that coverage at 3:15 on Christmas Day.
Yes.
We will not have the Westwind One coverage of the Chiefs because we'll have the Chiefs Radio Network coverage. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we want you to listen to Mitch. 11 a.m. for the pregame on Christmas Day, and I believe, and I don't know if Ron is going to do this, but Ron Thomas is going to do his show on Christmas Day. Not that he shouldn't be able to have the day off, but I believe he's choosing to do his show. A little extra thing from Mitch. And I don't know if he's going to do it. He's a GM. I can't tell him what to do. But there may be a little element in there during the simulcast that may be a little fun that it may have. Mitch Holtis may be a part of the show. So if you're up on Christmas morning,
I'll be here.
You may want to listen for Mitch may be a part of the morning festivities on Christmas morning.
I will be here to do sports on Christmas morning.
Mitch may be on the show for you guys.
Yeah.
We'll have the Monday morning quarterback on Tuesday with Steve Satter. Aaron's back from vacation, so that'll be on Tuesday next week on the 26th. The Chiefs Kingdom show will be on Tuesday the 26th. And then, of course, we're into football coverage. We got the bowl game for KU on Tuesday, and we've got the bowl game for Kansas State on Thursday on Country 101.7. So plenty plenty of sports for you this weekend. Really appreciate you all season long. Merry Christmas to all of our listeners. Really appreciate everybody for listening. We offer a lot, and we get so much support from the local community. I hope you're having a happy holiday season. Merry Christmas to you and your family. Merry Christmas to Dan Courtwright in the penalty box running things for us this morning. To Tim, who's not here, but he'll be back next week. You'll be gone next
week. I will
week.
Be gone, yeah.
Leave it on Friday after filling in for Sean. So
yep.
You have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year as well.
Thanks, Blake. You do the same.
We will try.
I know you'll be seeing a little bit of me next week, you know, here at the office, but I will not be in here. But I know I won't speak on Sports Talk next Saturday. The next time everyone will hear me after Friday will probably be that second with the Emporia High basketball games at Hayden. Big boy games. I don't know how juiced I am for those games coming back.
You've
got
to make sure you manage that excitement and focus it in on
the right spots.
But yeah, nobody will question your enthusiasm for Spartan sports. I would never dream of doing that, nor would I want it to be tempered in any way. But yeah, have a Merry Christmas, Dylan.
Thanks.
Blake Cripps here. This is KVOE Emporia. Thank you for listening. Have a Merry Christmas. KVOE Emporia, live and local. Have a great rest of your Saturday.
Live and local, 1400 AM KVOE Emporia, 96.9 FM K245 BQ Emporia.
From ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. On Friday, the TSA screened more than 2.75 million air travelers, and today is expected to be another busy day on the roads and in the skies. So far, things have been smooth at the airports. ABC's Jacqueline Lee is at LAX.
The crowds are certainly showing up here at LAX. You can see them waiting to check their bags, get their tickets, and then they are migrating over to TSA, where the lines are certainly moving. Now, this is expected to be the busiest travel season ever for airport travel, with 7.5 million passengers. These numbers